Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, It's Not the End of the World. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to stay, unusually so, in Matthew 24. We'll bounce around a little bit, not too far away, Deuteronomy and some other places. Matthew chapter 24. Let's just jump in here and read, and then I'll talk us through it as we go. Matthew 24, 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So big statement, all these buildings, which without going into too much of this, the temple had been built, destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed, rebuilt. And in about 64 AD, it was completed by Herod, I believe it was. And it only stayed for about 6 years till 70 AD. And I believe it was under Titus that Jerusalem was just decimated. They couldn't even find out where the original temple was, the Holy of Holies, anything. I mean, it was just wiped out. So what Jesus was saying here, you say, well, when would that happen? It wasn't going to be too long in the future. So now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, they'd left there, they'd crossed over. And if you go to Jerusalem today or any time in the past, Mount of Olives, you can kind of sit over there and look over to the Temple Mount and see Jerusalem. So it says, now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Some people think it's two questions. It's probably one question, but the answer is split in that the temple being destroyed is one event, and then Jesus coming back is another event. And then probably one of the biggest things I'm trying to convey to you today is this next verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, okay, he didn't answer the question directly like when, but he starts out with this statement, take heed that no one deceives you, okay? This is a huge problem for ignorant Christians and ignorant people in general. All some guy's got to do is say the world's going to end. You know, Mayan calendar, 2000-something. You know, we just get completely sideways. I got an email off the radio from a guy who he said something about the world coming to an end, and his wife got scared. You know, you can't listen to this stuff. And if that scares you, like there's something to that, you don't know your Bible. Okay, do not be deceived by these things. So he starts out and he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Why does he think they're going to be deceived? For many will come in my name. David Koresh in Waco, just Looney Tunes. But if you get enough ignorant people to buy in, you can get them in there and they'll all die for you. People drinking Kool-Aid and tennis shoes and just nutso stuff on the planet. You say, how does that happen to somebody? You get deceived. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. What about all these wars? You should not be the troubled people. It's not the end of the world. For all these things must come to pass, and when they do, and they have been going on forever, but the end is not yet. Just because then you got people deceiving you, claiming to be Christ, wars and rumors of wars, it's not the end of the world. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And by the way, you say, what about tsunamis? Those, a lot of times, are earthquakes, right? You're going to have a hard time getting a tsunami without an earthquake. So even tsunamis are generated by these earthquakes that crank up the oceans and slam them against countries and wipe out a lot of people. So famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of sorrows, but it's not the end of the world. Then they, now you say, well, those are natural disasters. Now here's where it starts to move in on God's people. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. Now remember, he's speaking to these guys, his disciples, his followers that are sitting there, will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. but it's not the end of the world. Now, see, this is where I start going, that sounds like the end of the world to me, the end of my world, right? If I'm get killed for this. At some point, you got to do kind of like a soldier does and say, you know what? I signed up for this. And if I get killed doing this, that was part of the deal, so I died. And if you die, you're standing looking at Jesus anyway, so you're okay. So all these things, beginning of sorrows, they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Starts getting even closer in the family. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Pay attention. Do not listen to someone, even if they sound nice. If they got weird hair, you kind of write them off sometimes. But if they got a little slick and, you know, well, I could identify, I can relate to that person. You can't relate to lies. I don't care what the package looks like. Do not believe lies. And if someone says something, you go, wow, I've never heard that or thought of that. Make sure it's in the Bible before you go getting sucked in. Many will be offended, betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. See any of that? Just do whatever you want to do. Whatever's right in your own eyes. It's been going on for millennia, but it's going on now. And then the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Why do we send money, support people, these missionaries around the world? The sooner we get the word out, the sooner we get the heck out of here. Get it to the ends of the world so we can go home. Because the book says until it goes to the end of the planet, to everybody out there has a shot, we're not out of here. So we haven't done our job yet. So the end is not yet. Keep reading. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. When that happens, get out of town. Because now there's going to be trouble. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. And let him who's in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Now you got trouble. Now it's the end of the world. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The only reason it doesn't last longer, whenever this comes to pass, the only reason it's shortened, it says, is because of God's people. And he says, enough. I'm not letting it go on because I'm not going to let it go on to them. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, let me just, while you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 13, let me say this. You've got to stop watching crazy stuff and saying, wow, look at that miraculous thing. That must be legit because he did some wow thing. Do not be deceived. You've got to listen beyond the miracles. The devil can do miracles. And he does these things to deceive people. And we get all caught up, well, wow, it must be of God because look at that deal. There's passages that talk about, you know, you'll come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord. He says, I don't know you. Well, we cast out demons in your name. We did all these miraculous things. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You claim to know me and you had some game, but it was not from me. So it is possible to do miracles, miraculous looking stuff, and it not have anything to do with God. Old Testament, Deuteronomy 13, 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So God will let these people come along to see if you are more after the wow factor or the God factor. And we get duped so easy, deceived so easily, and get sucked in and go, oh my gosh, it's got to be of God. It doesn't have to be of God unless it's of God. And test it. Go back over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 25. See, I have told you beforehand. I'm telling you before. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Don't waste your time. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus shows up, you will know it. He ain't gonna be going out in the desert, going in some room somewhere. When Jesus shows up, the entire planet will know it. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And some people say this, that the carnage will be so great that at the end of the world that, you know, there'll be eagles looking for the carcasses that are out there. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, it is very difficult to even read that. And I really am grateful to Hollywood for something. Because there are all these Armageddon, there's all these movies where asteroids and stuff comes down and they try to even depict what might happen. But this is what the Bible says. You say, well, but I'm not sure about that. You can be sure about this. If you're on the planet when Jesus comes back, it's going to happen. And you say, well, I don't want to be on the planet. Well, you don't know when he's coming, okay? So, and we'll get to this in a minute. So if you don't know whether you're going to be on the plane or not, but you believe this is going to happen, what do you do in the meantime? And they call it meantime for a reason, because it can get mean. You just do what he put you here to do and left you here to do, and either he takes you out or you get caught up in whatever's going on when he comes back, and that's that. You say, but oh, I'm afraid. I don't know. You know what? You don't have to be afraid anymore. If you focus on him, you believe in him, you trust in him, and be about what he put you here to do, some bad stuff could happen to you, sure. But what's worse than losing your life in terms of living the life that he made possible and intended? Keep reading. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You're not going to miss that when it happens. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, spring of the year, summer of the year, the branch gets tender, puts forth these little buds, you know that summer is near. It's just common sense trigger. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. You say, well, then you can kind of know when it's close. Let me tell you something. The return of Christ is not getting any farther away. It gets closer every day. And you say, well, what about these signs and things the Bible talks about? I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's in 1,000 years from now. But as long as I'm on this planet, my plan is to be ready if it's today. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And they saw a ton of this stuff happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Please remember this stuff. I highly recommend checking it out, paying attention if you feel any stirring whatsoever. You see, I'm not just trying to get you to become a Christian. I'm interested in signing your butt up. I'm talking about enlisting in the army of the Lord kind of thing, where you go, okay, I didn't just want a ticket. A lot of people like being Americans. Not many people want to be American soldiers, right? We like the benefits, but we'd like someone else to go fight. We're not sending somebody else to go fight. We're going to fight. My job is not just sit around and wait till Jesus comes. My job is to serve till he comes. Let's get to those verses. But here is the big verse, okay? And if someone says something about the end of the world and they crank it all up at some point, read this. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, okay? If you think you figured it out, and the angels and Jesus don't know, you're probably really wrong, okay? And if you read the verses and then go, someone says some date at 6 p.m., please don't waste your time on this stuff. I want to read you the parallel passage over in Mark 13. So you're in Matthew, go to Mark chapter 13. And let me read you these few verses. And this is Mark's take on it, how he relays this to us in his own words. The Holy Spirit writing through him says it this way, Mark 13, 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch, pay attention. Christianity is not a Sunday sport. This is an everyday, all the time. You say, well, I'm tired. Well, then rest in the Lord, but keep moving. The enemy is coming at you with all the barrels he's got. And the more you try to step out there and trust him, the more they shoot at you, right? You march on the gates of hell, they're going to throw tar down on you every time. Don't be shocked by that. But keep moving, because the book says the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So you clear the gates, now you're in hell bringing people out. You are supposed to be training and serving in an army and saying, okay, we all know we're going to get up from here and we're going to go out and march on the gates of hell. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this. Let's do it together. Let's cover for one another. I got your back. You got mine. You're going to get shot at. But we're not trying to go in there and kill anybody. We're trying to go in there and take people out of the grasp of the enemy and bring them to the other side. We're trying to rescue people who, if we do not go after them, they will die in there. They're as good as dead already. So instead of sitting around at home going, oh my gosh, what if the sky is falling? It's today. You don't know that. Do the same thing every day, whether today is the day or not. Serve him, love him, ask him to use you. Use up your life. It's the only one you've got. And if today's the end of the world, so be it. But no matter what happens to me this day, it's not the end of the world. Back to Matthew 24. So again, Matthew 24, let's do 36 again. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. You say, well, I don't know, whatever. That crazy guy's building that ark. That crazy woman is just living some Christian life and believes all this stuff in the Bible. It's all good for you to poo-poo on that and act like it ain't happening until it happens. And they load us up in the ark and the door closes. It starts raining. And now you're in a heap of trouble because you didn't listen. You were just going through life like nothing was happening. You say, but these Christians are crazy and you get all animated about this. You know what? This is worth getting animated about. There's nothing at stake here but your life. That's all. And then once your life gets saved, then maybe the impact that your life could have on somebody else. And so the enemy tries to steal, kill, destroy, take away the abundant life, the eternal life he's offering, and just get you all spun around till he can get you out of here so you don't get in his way. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's going to take you a minute if you're not familiar with the Peters in here. 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 11 and following. And Peter writes here and says this, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, everything here, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What kind of person should you be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, whether he comes back in my lifetime or not, I'm going to be ready when I go or when he comes. Either way, I'm going to be ready. And you say, well, how are you going to do that? One day at a time. And I got my own personal challenges, and I try to surround myself with men and continue to eliminate my personal challenge so that I can figure out what it is God has got me here to do and do that. Because I am running out of sand in the top of my hourglass, and it doesn't stop falling. Go back over to Matthew 24, verse 40. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known, if I knew I was going to get broken in tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning, some thieves are coming to my house, you know what? I'd get me some police, some Navy SEALs, whatever I got to do, we all be sitting here waiting. We got intelligence. They're going to break into my house at 3 o'clock. We're going to whoop them right here before they get in the house. We'll say, well, duh, you could stop all the thieves if you knew when they were coming. Exactly. He says, then watch and pray. Be ready all the time because he's coming. You say, well, I'm tired. Then get some rest. Well, how do you do that? Spend a little time with Jesus. Sleep. Get some sleep. Rest. But don't rest to quit. Rest to go back to work. I shared a while back, I've been working out, and 1 week, Monday morning, got up 5, 7 o'clock, worked out. Tuesday, got up, worked out, almost died. Not died, but I was like, I can't do this. Wednesday, woke up and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. It's not that I was not willing, I was not able. My body said, we ain't doing this today. It is not happening. And I said, okay, send a little text to my friend and said, I'm out. I'm exhausted, I can't do it. And you know what? I rested. And then the next day he texted me and said he was resting. I was like, yes. So I rested 2 days. Then Friday, I got up and I went and worked out. And for the first time in the whole process, I felt good after I got done. And I got that close to quitting because I was tired. Sometimes you need to rest. And whether you know it or not, it's built into the Christian calendar, to God's scheme of things. He worked 6 days and said, okay, I'm going to have a day of rest, not because he's tired, but he knew we would need to rest. Everybody has to rest. So rest. But don't quit. Get back in the fight. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house? Now look at this. Faithful and wise servant, master makes him ruler over his house to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Now you say, well, what is that? Is that spiritual food? Is it physical food? In the case of the example, the master, you're supposed to feed the house. You know, part of my job, your job as a Christian, is to provide food for the household. My job is to help feed you. But this is not you come and listen and go, okay, I'm done. Your job is to eat the food, digest the food, and go breastfeed somebody else. If you are not giving this away to anyone else, it's not working. Because somewhere it's got to go off in you that, okay, wait a minute, this is changing my life. So I'm going to whisper this to somebody else. I'm going to share this with somebody else. I'm going to take it to somebody else. Find some verses. Go, wow, I heard this today, or I learned this, or I was reading this morning this. Talk about it. Get it going. You'd be amazed. Somebody's life can be changed. You say, but I'm not much of a whatever. You know what? You're all he's got. They used to put fires out with buckets. You know, well, I don't know anything about putting fires out. Pass a bucket. Anybody can pass a bucket. So I'm here to fill your bucket up. Go pass the bucket. Fill someone else's bucket up. Do something. He's coming back. He really is coming back. And I don't know what day, but I'm either dying or he's coming back. Either way, I'm out of here.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Last few verses. Blessed the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of it, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The bulk of this is not trying to scare the, you know, thing out of anybody. But let me tell you something. You do not want Jesus to come back or die without him. I highly recommend getting hooked up with Jesus in the best of ways. Because if you die without Jesus, it is the end of the world. It's the end of everything for you except eternity separated from him. And you say, well, you're trying to scare people. I don't think fear is really ultimately the greatest motivator. I think love is the greatest motivator. But you better at least factor in that there are great consequences with messing with this God. This is not some game. This is not some fairy tale somebody wrote down. This is the truth. And whether you believe it or not, The great thing about truth is, whether anybody believes it or not, it is still what it is, truth. And I can't prove any of this today, but the day's coming where it will be proven true. I don't know which day, but that day's coming. And I highly recommend being ready.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.